Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. This Friday, it is the 22nd of July. I hope you guys have had a good summer. It's been pretty good up here, I have to say that. You know, the media conference numbers are just going lower and lower and lower. We talked about that a little bit yesterday in our daily editorial, and we're going to elaborate on it significantly in this editorial. You have to wonder, Jimmy, what is this going to do to the American, the average American's perception of the media in the United States? I think it's just got to shoot it into the ground. What do you think?
Yeah, the numbers, out of the most recent Gallup poll are staggering. The confidence in the media, according to the polling, in newspapers is at 16%. In TV, it's 11%.
Wow.
And I mean, those are just absolutely devastating numbers. And it's quite apparent why. You know, the corporate mainstream media, ABC, NBC, mm-hmm. CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Amazon owning, you know, Washington Post, of course, the unbelievable tech control through Twitter and silencing voices. People are like, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, they're kind of fed up with that. And it's becoming quite apparent in polling. But the biggest problem is, even when they are proven wrong, they still are attempting to cover up unbelievable fabricated stories.
Yeah, but the question is why?
Why? You know, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it is. It's an important thing to consider. And, we talk about it often, and I'm going to talk about it again. These corporations that own their mouthpieces, they are the propaganda tools for the big corporations. I mean, Disney, ABC, they are pushing agendas. They are socially engineering the population in order to achieve their goals. And I think a lot of it has to do with that. They're expanding markets into Asia, specifically into China. And I think it's biting them a little bit, certainly because of these numbers. But it also has to do with the level of competence in the people they hire.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're not getting professional journalists anymore. We're getting activists. And, of course, they live inside these big urban centers, New York, L.A., or they go to schools, to these elite schools, the Ivy League schools or some of these, UVA, some of these other schools, journalism in Chicago, things like that in Northwestern. And they come out thinking that they're going to change the world, and they have an ideology that's basically set in a fabricated sense of social justice, that socialism somehow is the answer.
Yeah.
And they've been geared to hate conservative ideologies and just the things that they grew up with in regular our communities, our families.
Right.
And so they lose perspective by living in these worlds that are ideologically very utopian, but in reality, that's not the world we live in. And they're reporting on those things because of editors. Editors decide which things get run and which don't. Editors don't allow things that go against their political agendas. And so they're forced, even ones that might be a little bit more moderate, even on the conservative side, are often axed. And, it's clear in TV, it's clear in newspaper articles from the major producers of news and media that they are shaping the world because of ideology.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake.
Well, the comment that I would make about that is I used to be a real fan of a publication called The Week magazine, and I was reading it last night with a certain amount of enthusiasm until I got to the section on what they call the non-existent difference between church and state. They basically said that the state has taken over. If you look at the composition of the Scotia Supreme Court of the United States, if you look at the composition of that, it is primarily Catholic. And they said, of course, a Catholic is not going to support anything to do with abortion. I really have to wonder, I mean, admittedly, what they're saying has a certain amount of truth to it, but the liberal bent of the Week magazine has just increased by leaps and bounds, and I've just decided I don't want to read it anymore.
Well, you can go with The Week, you can go with Newsweek, you can go with The Atlantic, you can go with New Yorker.
Well, The Atlantic is getting really bad.
They shape and skew information in order to achieve an objective. Mm-hmm. And it comes from that ideology from these very liberal urban environments. And those liberal urban environments are directed by the media, controlled by the media, and controlled by those editors that have agendas and objectives.
Yeah.
And those agendas and objectives are to propagate and encourage and support the expansion of their globalist ideologies to expand markets to make more money.
Yeah.
And somehow people have felt that this is the right direction to go, but actually it's turning back on them. And we talked about ESG, environmental, social, governance, investing. And BlackRock is one of the big pushers for it. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, who collectively have tens of trillions of dollars in equity investments for people, they have been pushing these socialist agendas. And in fact, the CEO of BlackRock stated a couple of years ago that, in fact, that was his goal, was to make people invest in certain ways and shape that investment. Well, guess what? They've lost $1.6 trillion in the last 6 months in people's money. And I think the pushback is coming. I think the frustration is coming. I think the lack of confidence in what we're being told, and then the failures, the clear failures by our government to take proper actions to protect individuals' jobs, to protect their health, to protect their future, is becoming apparent. And as all that comes to a head, people are going to lash out and push back. Thankfully,
Jimmy, in a democratic society. Jimmy, what do you think the pushback is going to consist of?
I think part of
And the reason I asked the question is I think the magnitude of the problem is sufficiently large that it's really worth considering at this point somewhat early in the game.
Well, I think most Americans don't support free entry into the United States for illegal immigrants, especially ones that provide nothing other than a burden on our taxpayers.
Right.
Most people do not support expanding the Green New Deal. In fact, it's almost negligible in any polling as a level of importance. What people care about is how they get to work, how much their gas costs, how much their food costs. Is there enough food on the table to feed my family? They don't care about social justice BS. I mean, the nation was doing very well in that, really until the Obama regime came in power and began pushing these agendas. I mean, people just didn't think about that. And I live down here in the South right now, and we get along really well in South Carolina. There is not this divide. And of course, the Northeastern liberal elite idealists use it for power, but also they're ignorant on the realities of the rest of the world because they live in their little bubbles, their financial wealthy bubbles. And this is what you're getting in the elite with the media. And they don't realize that the rest of America doesn't agree, doesn't hate, doesn't like them, and doesn't listen to them anymore. And that's where the pushback's coming right now. Companies are losing money that are pushing these agendas. The courts are not standing up for Catholic rights. They're standing up for states' rights and local governance rights as dictated by our Constitution in a federalist system.
Yep.
And that's the most important thing the court is doing, is taking away centralized control from the federal government and putting it back in the hands of the voters at the lowest level. And that's what we need in America right now.
Lucky to elaborate on that just a little bit, Jimmy. When you say that's what we need in America right now, addressing the voters at the lowest level.
So when Supreme Court made the determination on Roe v. Wade, you know what they did? They didn't say, abortion's illegal. They said states make a decision.
Right.
Then states have to make a decision based on their legislators. Their legislators are elected in local elections. So what that does is put the power back down in the local area. So if you live in Seattle and everybody there thinks that killing babies is a wonderful idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, my body, my choice. Well, you know what? That's another body, by the way. And oh, yeah. by the way, no matter what, it's not like just, you know, just it's not like pouring out a bucket of water. You're actually taking away a life.
Yeah.
They want to do that. They still get to vote in their area and try to influence the state legislature to ensure that happens. And of course, Washington and California and Oregon and New York, they've all set these policies where they want abortion all the way up to the last minute, even after the baby is born in some cases.
Right, right.
And you know what? I don't agree with that at all.
No, of course not, Jim. Neither do I.
And so that's one example. But it puts it back down at the lowest level, and that's what a federal system is for. Too many people have gotten used to the idea that some great power, some great leader is going to lead us out of the forest, and that's not the way it works. Our system is designed for the lowest people in your community, the average people, to make decisions yeah. about their future. Not somebody in Washington, D.C. And the more power you give to centralized government, the more people are crushed by it because they don't understand inside the Beltway, inside D.C., the problems that Americans are facing. And of course, this is, you know, goes to the school, to the educating children on gender dysphoria at
yeah.
young ages. It comes back to, gun rights and Second Amendment. If you're in a community, you know what? You have responsibility to take action for you. And people get to vote that way. And what we're seeing is a strong push, a court that is supporting states' rights, that are supporting the lowest community elections and letting them determine their future rather than some centralized control from authoritarian powers inside Washington, D.C.
Well, the fact that states' rights in terms of the abortion issue really wasn't stressed. I mean, it was certainly brought up. There's no question about that. But it certainly wasn't stressed. Not one aspect of the major media came out and said, remember, abortion is not dead in the United States. Abortion is simply now the purview of the state governments as opposed to the federal government. That was never stressed, Jim.
No, it wasn't. And that's, again, because there's a political agenda behind these
right.
major media corporations, and they want to appease a certain, you know, group of people.
Right.
And the unfortunate part about it is it undermines the demographics of the United States because people, you know, are disincentivized to have children and encouraged to abort their children when we need to be have a growing population in order to compete with the rest of the world's population.
Right.
And it's not by importing or allowing illegal immigrants into the system that are uneducated and have no skills
right.
that we pay a higher price to support them on. And, you know, that's, again, this is where, you know, the states are pushing back in numerous ways. And, we're getting a majority. We have a majority of conservative legislators in the U.S. and they're beginning to file suits. And the Supreme Court is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It's not legislating. It's allowing the laws of the states to override what the federal government
has. Well, I think that's certainly
made.
True. I think it's very definitely true in the Roe v. Wade situation. I am disappointed with what's going on right now. I had a very, very interesting political discussion with a neighbor last night. He and I and his wife sat up talking about politics and until probably close to 11 o'clock. And I got to tell you, this guy is a very, very staunch conservative. And let me throw one thing out at you, but let's try to keep the answer down to a couple of minutes. He really wonders if Trump in 2024 has the ability to carry the election. And this guy was the biggest Trump fan in our area for a long time.
I would say that what you're hearing when you hear that is you're hearing people repeat what some of the editors and the media on the left are propagating and the Democratic Party are pushing.
Right.
President Trump has not lost a step. It's apparent that he is still gathering, you know, thousands of people at every rally he does, almost weekly. His policies, he's actually a little calmer in what he's doing. He's not being as aggressive, and he's certainly not getting the media attention that he did for aggressive actions.
Right.
They are trying to push him off to the side. But I will tell you this, there is an incredible fear on the left that he's going to take power again. And you can tell by some of the reporting they're doing in order to undermine his election possibilities and maybe try to put a wedge between he and Ron DeSantis or other potential candidates.
Well, that subject did come up. I don't think that either DeSantis or Trump is going to allow that to happen, because they both realize that you can win a battle, but you can't win a war. And the war really is the long-term population of the executive office, Jim, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's actually a legislature with guts. So Republicans with guts that actually take back the responsibilities of the legislature, because we have given too much power to the executive branch of government in the United States. They are making dictatorial actions, and we can't do that.
No.
The people that write the laws, and the laws have to stand up to the Constitution, the legislature, our House and Senate, pass the laws. The president signs them. He's supposed to execute them. He's not supposed to make them. Our courts are not supposed to make law. They're supposed to ensure they follow the Constitution. And I'll tell you, the executive branch and the Supreme Court, up until just recently, have both failed to do that, and numerous courts in lower courts have legislated from the bench. And that's an incredibly damaging process.
But don't you think that's changing now? Don't you think that's changing? I mean, look at Roe v. Wade, as we discussed earlier. I think it's very definitely changing.
Well, that's what I just said. I think that there is a, up until recently, that has been the case, and it still happens in numerous cases. Right now, the Steve Bannon trial is a great example. The judge is saying that he cannot even use any of the information that says he's innocent in order to protect himself. You know, they're legislating in order for political ends. All the January 6th trials, they're absolutely crushing these people, while you look at things like Hunter Biden, who gets left off and is put up in some $10,000 a week or a month mansion in Malibu, and the apparently the Secret Service is paying about $20,000 or $30,000 for a mansion next to him to watch him.
Right.
And you know, living in Malibu and doing whatever he wants, whatever drugs or every creepy things, while he's out after absolutely having tremendous evidence of him breaking the law.
Yeah.
And these January 6th people that walked into the Capitol, when often the Capitol Police let them in, are being kept in prison for a year and a half. And the judges, Lambert in particular, this guy in D.C., is like putting them in solitary and not giving them an opportunity to defend themselves. This is crazy.
Jimmy,
and we've got to get back to some level.
The only comment I can make about your comment about this is crazy is America is currently going to hell in a handbasket. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, you bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.